Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. And we're headed to Supreme Court decisions in conversation about taxes. Taxes proposed by the Biden administration and the majority in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, and also at the G20, the meeting in Rome. These are large-scale plans to raise revenue to pay for programs. The G20 meeting talked about a global minimum tax. The Biden administration is talking about taxing companies who make more than, who are appreciate of more than $1 billion or more than $100 million in income at a set period. A 15% minimum tax. There is also a tax proposed in the Senate about taxing the most wealthy on their unrealized gains. These are moving stories, but Richard is speaking in general of taxes that are applied to wealth, that is capital, and not to income. Richard, a very good evening to you. Let's first speak of the genius of the flat tax and how all of this would go away if America would move to a flat tax. What is the flat tax before we discuss what the Biden administration is looking to do? Good evening to you.
A flat tax simply says that the rate of taxation that you pay is constant no matter how much money you earn. So if you earn, you have a 10% flat tax and you earn $100, you pay $10. If you have a 10% flat tax and you earn $1 million, you pay $100,000. The flat tax obviously goes up with wealth, but it doesn't rise disproportionately, and it does under progressive tax, where the more you get, the higher you pay. Now, what is the advantage of this particular situation is in many ways described in a couple of ways. First of all, there's simplicity. You don't have to figure out what the brackets are. You don't have to worry where the discontinuities are going to take place. You don't have to worry about whether people want to split income between two people and get the benefit of lower rates. None of that really matters, because whether you earn a great deal or a little, it turns out everything's the same. So what it does is it tends to reduce the tendency for people to engage in highly expensive and economically destructive behavior. The second thing that this flat tax does, in addition to its administrative simplicity, is it means you can't start to play favorites with one group or another. You can't start to give exemptions. You can't start to put premium taxes on things. So you're not only worried about the way individuals work, you're worried about the way in which it applies to corporations of one form or another. And the more you can get rid of that kind of game playing, the smoother the political process will work. So that if, in fact, you want to raise the tax on the rich, you have to agree to raise the tax on your wealth, on yourself. The people will generally say wealth is worth less to richer people than it is to a poor person. And that means that when you start to raise the tax on the rich person by $1,000 and a poor person by $10, it turns out that $10 bite is going to be pretty severe. And so they're going to be a little bit cautious about imposing the particular tax in question. So what happens is put a flat tax on it also means that economic activity is going to run much more smoothly, because the rate of return that you get is not going to be dependent upon odd factors about how much wealth you have from other transactions and so forth. It also turns out, interestingly enough, that the flat tax has the following very desirable quality, which is you could raise any amount of revenue with it, so you don't have to put a maximum amount you could do. If you raise it, you raise it for everybody. You lower it, you lower it for everybody. There's actually some redistribution in a flat tax, because as people start to get richer, it turns out they do less and less from the government is that they're going to get. The police protection matters as much for your bodily safety as it does for your wealth. And poor people may have very little capital, but they certainly have a very great interest in the protection of their body. So you get some redistribution. It's relatively stable. Indeed, in the First Amendment area, where people actually do care about preferences from one group to another. There's a very nice opinion by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, now close to 40 years ago, in which she says you can't tax big newspapers at more progressive rates than small ones. You don't want to create those kinds of shifts back and forth. My view is what she said. It was quite right about the situation with respect to speech, but it should apply more generally to all forms of property. So I've actually put this forward as a constitutional proposal, as a way to present redistribution, and then you combine it with a limit on the kinds of things that you could spend money for. Well, general welfare of the United States doesn't mean transfer payments, it means public good purchase and so forth. So if you could limit the kinds of ends, and if you could limit the way in which you raise the money, and you put the two of them together, taxes become much less intrusive in economic affairs, and everybody will benefit from the overall growth that you get from that situation.
All right, we established utopia, the flat tax. Now we move to the facts that we have. Let's begin with the global minimum tax endorsed by the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, and agreed upon at the G20 meeting in Rome, not only of those 20 countries, but 130 worldwide, maybe more now. The global minimum tax, as I understand it, is to be applied to all corporations, and there will be no more seeking of tax havens. This has also been described to me as a tax cartel, and the question I have for you is, will it, in taxing these companies in this fashion, will it inhibit growth? Will it change the posture of prosperity in the U.S. and Europe versus the prosperity in other parts of the world?
Well, I'm very negative about this. Now, the first thing to note that it is a flat tax, but it's not a flat tax on individual income. And you have no idea when you're taxing at the corporate level whether the shares you have are owned by poor people or rich people or by working people. So it's kind of hard to figure out how you make this more or less progressive. But what happens is I think that tax competition is a good thing, not a bad thing. Generally speaking, money is going to be more productive invested in private hands than in government hands. And so the moment you allow there to be competition back and forth between jurisdictions, what happens is people will start to relocate to take advantage of the low tax system. Higher levels of productivity will take place, and then you hope that there's a free trade regime out there which will allow you to buy and sell these goods across state and national lines without having to pay additional tariffs on one thing or another. So I think that, generally speaking, it's bad to try to keep the taxes high because what it does is it encourages government transfer payments of one form or another, which are going to inhibit the way in which growth takes place. It also turns out to be extremely difficult to administer something like this because what we have in the tax code is not just a flat tax. We have all sorts of preferences that are given to one kind or another, special rates of depreciation for certain kinds of capital equipment or certain kinds of intangible expenses and so forth, or in certain kinds of industries. And what happens is they're trying to marry the flat tax as an abstract conception with all of these very funny situations that take place in individual countries. And if you want to allow these particular exceptions to exist, you're going to undermine the flat tax. And it's like any cartel. Somebody says, oh, I've got the benefit of the high rates. If I can cheat and do only a 14% tax, I'll get people to come to me. Then somebody else decides to cheat, and then the whole thing may break down. Right. Then you have to try to put in guards against that. And if you remember, there was the alternative minimum tax that we had many years ago, only aimed for very rich people and big corporations. And after a while, it becomes a scourge, and it kind of justifies everything. So there's a real danger that you start at this particular rate, and then you start to move to additional situations. So you have high taxes all over the world, and generally a high tax environment is going to be one in which you substitute public investment for private investment. Public investment is subject to all sorts of political distortions and that for the most part do not exist in private investment unless the government regulates the private investors in various ways so that they cannot function any longer as independent agents.
All right, two forms of taxation, the flat tax and the global minimum tax proposed at the G20. We're going to now turn to the proposals by the Democratic White House and the Congress about taxing wealth, taxing assets, unrealized assets. Richard Epstein is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. And we're headed to Supreme Court decisions more than 100 years old. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.